Hello, you're listening to Told Stories, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. I'm Carlotta Ribello. On the southern part of Ireland's border lies a once thriving industrial village called Lara. In the 1920s, the mills closed, causing most of the population to drift from the village. Despite the area being abandoned, some buildings remain, among them a tin church made from corrugated iron with a three-stage spire tucked neatly beneath the woodland. Although there are several stories about the church's past, some claim it was inspired by the mill owner's honeymoon in Switzerland, others say it was a tribute to his son's passing. Its future is certain as a heart of the community, thanks to the restoration efforts of the Lara Heritage Group. Let's hear its story.
I'm Paula McCall. I'm the secretary of Lara Heritage Community Group in Lara in the South County Monaghan. Lara was a milling village and it worked making linen. When the mills were running, there were 700 people employed and living in Lara. And when they closed, the population was totally decimated, the place just poverty stricken. I was out walking on Christmas in 2010 in the snow, and I took some photographs and made Christmas cards for our neighbours. Everybody loved the card and really got very excited and interested about how beautiful the church looked in the snow. There was something just niggling at me that we could do something for it, or should we try or should we not? And I went back to those neighbours and we formed a community group. It was a long, arduous process, but we worked with the Church of Ireland locally. We got a lease off them, which put the building into our name as a community. On the day the building opened, there was a queue of people all the way down the village wanting to come in to see it. And an awful lot of them were elderly people who lived in this area who never stood inside the building in their lives, even though it's been deconsecrated since the 50s, late 50s. And it lay with the door open for years and years. The windows on both sides of the church are cast iron, and all these little panes have been broken, be it with the boards or with vandals. And as a community, we restored them ourselves. They hold, especially the east window, it holds all the keys of and all the stories about the church. So all the woodwork was done. The man who owned the church and who was the clergyman and who was the landlord and the mill owner was the carpenter for in here. So all the work is his work. There's an inscription on the east window to his son. He had only one son, and he had two daughters. And his son was killed on a horse riding accident in England when he was boarding in England. And he's buried in St. Peter's Church in Birmingham. His two daughters were married out of this church, Helen and Cherry, and we have one photograph of one of his daughters' weddings outside. That's all the pictures we have. We have no pictures of internally or externally other than that. When the church opened in 1890, there was a reporter sent from the Ecclesiastical Gazette. And he gave a detailed account of what happened on the day it opened, some of the structural details of the church, and we've used it as a blueprint as to how to put it back together. We use it for a lot of arts events, a lot of music events. We use it for community events. So we use it at Christmas for Santa's, the Santa experience. It's magical in here. At the harvest time, we decorate it for the harvest, and we leave it open for those couple of weeks, just to show any visitor who happens to drop in what it would have looked like in its prime at harvest time. Every time you pass, there's people here. It's just a quiet place to come in. They just sort of wander around sometimes. Come in, children, they come for a picnic, they come to see the river, this beautiful river at the back. They just come to stand, to think, to sit. We have a lot of weddings, wedding photography, flower arranging, things like that, community-based stuff. But more and more for music events and arts events, and definitely more and more interest from artists further afield. In the beginning, it was obviously all Monaghan or Louth or Cavan and Meath. I wouldn't say it's a particularly, I mean, obviously it's particularly special for us because it's in our village. It's not, it wasn't a hard building to conserve in that its raw materials are just timber and tin. So it wasn't costly to preserve it. The windows were the most costly part, definitely. Its architecture is what stands it apart from other tin buildings. The tin buildings are quite common. You can find them, if you Google them, you'll see they're in different counties. But there's none of them that have the detail of this one in the spire. It's a spire is made in three pieces, and it's particularly unique. And the windows, none of them have, whatever, in a building that basically is a timber frame, you would never have put in windows at the cost of that James McCain put in here. We can't take any credit for what's here. He put it all here. He's the genius, really. But as a community, we're just thrilled to have been able to save it and conserve it and have it for the next generation.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Sarah Miles for the reporting on today's episode. Tune in on Thursday when a brand new edition of The Urbanist comes out. I'm Carlotta Rubello, and thanks for listening, City Lovers.